the surrounding area. May you know God's blessing and peace in these days of new beginnings and opportunities, knowing that he who called you together is faithful and that he will accomplish his purpose among you and through you for your good and for his glory. Yours in the service of Jesus, the Reverend Stuart MacDonald. Then we have an apology from the Reverend Alistair Pearce from Dumfries Baptist Church, who said he would love to have been here, but unfortunately he has to attend a service in Aberdeen, as it's the last service of Owen Patterson, who they've recently called to join their pastoral team at Dumfries Baptist Church. Another one from John Walker from Ayr Baptist Church. I'm pleased to be sending the greetings to the congregation of Ayr Baptist Church on the occasion of the settlement of your new minister. Daniel and Joanna and the family are well known to us, and both Daniel and Joanna were members with us for many years before embarking on the journey of ministry. We are sure they will be an asset to the Lord in the work of Stranraer Baptist Church. May God truly bless you as pastor and people alike as you set aside Daniel for the work, and may the whole church know his blessing in the days ahead. And then he has scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I know there's quite a number of folk from Ayr down with us today. And then the last one that we have is from a very special member of the family. Dear Daniel, Joanna and the children, first of all, let me rejoice with you at this very happy celebration. To God be the glory. I am just sorry I couldn't be with you all today. Changing places and pulpits takes some time to settle down, for there is much to do to have a loving congregation. I have found in my years of service there are always those in the congregation who are like-minded to yourselves and always there to help. Treasure such people and make such a situation one of the keys of service. As your family settle down, there are those even in distant places who are following you in your place of service and holding your family in their time of prayer. May the Lord bless you in your new ministry. I will always be thinking of and praying for you all. Love to you all, Sinclair Horn, otherwise known as Grandad or Grandpa. I think that's all the notices. We're going to have a prayer just now. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, a very special day in the life of this church here in Stranraer, and a special day in the life of Daniel and Joanna and Matthew and Naomi. Father God, we thank you for your leading to us as a church and to Daniel and Joanna in bringing us together to this place at this time. And Father, we just ask that as we meet together to ordain and induct Daniel, that this would be a time of celebration, not just for us as a church and Daniel and Joanna and the family, but for all of us who are gathered here. A time when we can celebrate that there are still those who are keen to serve you, keen to follow your call to bring the good news of the gospel to a needy nation. And Father, we ask that as we continue in this service, that everything that is done would be done to bring honour and glory to your name. This we ask in your Son's name. Amen. We're now going to have a reading read by Athena, who was on our search committee, our vacancy committee, and it's Psalm 111.
I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who who delight in him should ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He always remembers his covenant. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. All he does is just and good, and all his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever true, to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. Amen.
Thanks, Athena. The musicians are now going to lead us in our first hymn, which is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to see you here. My name is Jim Purvis, one of the national team of the Baptist Union of Scotland, and it's my privilege to lead in this time of induction. I do greet those who have come from many parts of the Church, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, because with Orthodox Christians everywhere, we recognize there is only one Church, and there is only one Lord Jesus Christ. Our Baptist family is part of many families in this land. So on behalf of our family, I do greet and thank you for coming, those who come from other parts of the Christian Church. In these times of words that seem to be doubted by leaders in many parts of the world. Here we gather to speak truth and speak truthfulness. We express words in truth-telling because our God is a God who speaks truth. He is the God of covenant, as we have rehearsed from Psalm 111. The God who declares what he is doing and will do, and does it. And so today we come to a time when we too will express covenant, because he enables us to, by the power of his Spirit and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have gathered to recognize and celebrate the call of Christ. This is the call of grace that he extends to us all, to respond to his immeasurably great love for us with joy and with faith and into holiness. This is also the call to one another to be and become more truly his church, a building of living stones joined together in him, loving one another as he loves us, united as Jesus and the Father are united as one. And the call of Christ is a call to ministry. Everyone baptized into Jesus Christ, called to serve him and one another. And we do acknowledge this day afresh that every Christian who walks and responds to Jesus is called to be a minister of the gospel. But God also calls some to be the servants of the servants of God, a form of servant leadership and therefore ministry among his people, to devote themselves especially to prayer and to the sharing, the teaching, the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Scriptures, to better equip the church for the life of discipleship in God's world. These people we appoint and release into that calling that God has given them, and we recognize with prayer and with our blessing. We respect their role among us as they have been called to minister, as they strive to walk the way of Christ as examples, and as servants lead us in the way of servanthood. Daniel, will you stand, please? Come on up and join me here. Daniel, today we recognize that God has called you to become the minister of Stranraer Baptist Church. Through prayer and seeking the Lordship of Christ in your life, you have recognized and received a call of God to come here to serve in this church family. Would you now tell us how God has worked in you to bring this about, please?
Slightly intimidating side. So I first sensed a call to ministry in God's church when I was only 18 years old. I was studying at the time at Strathclyde University to become a forensic chemist, and I disagreed strongly with God at the time that this is where I should be going. But with the support of the local church in Ayr and Joanna and my friends, I headed off to the Scottish Baptist College to study theology, and that sort of deepened my sense of call. And over the years, in the various places I've served, primarily with young people and with youth in Alva and in Selkirk, a growing sense of God's call on me to preach and to lead. And so about a year ago, I've started to pray more seriously about, well, maybe this is where God is leading me forward. And when I told Joanna, she said, well, of course, how is it taking you this long to see this? And so we prayed together, and we took it to some trusted Christian friends of ours at various times, and we're just affirmed and encouraged, and it seemed that other people had sort of seen something in me as well that would lead me in this direction. So we made first contact with Stranraer in March this year. Well, actually, Niall contacted me first, And we started to explore this, and so we visited Tranmere the first time in April, and again to preach in May, and then to preach with a view in June. And the whole way along, every conversation we had, it seemed that this is where God was leading us. It seemed like a good fit. It seemed like this is what God had his hand on. And we were really, have been really pleased, incredibly encouraged and affirmed that the church, when they met together, affirmed that as well. So that's part of our story.
Thank you, Daniel. Let's see for a moment. We're now going to ask Niall to come forward and give some testimony as how God is led by his Spirit to call Daniel here.
I have to write it all down. Pastor Stuart MacDonald preached his last sermon in Stranraer on the 28th of May 2017, and so for the third time in the history of the church, we set out on a journey to look for a new pastor for the church. A vacancy committee was formed, composed of a cross-section of the church members. We initially worked on bringing together a profile of the church and also of our aspirations as to the direction that we felt the Lord was leading us as a fellowship. In that document, which was given to all those who contacted us regarding the position of pastor, we said the following: we desire to see the church become a body of people working together and supporting each other, as pictured in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, and worked out as an example for us in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. We want Stranraer Baptist Church to be more than a building we come to on a Sunday, but rather a group of people seeking to grow in our love for and service of our Lord, supporting and encouraging each other, and reaching effectively into our community. This set the direction that we hoped that the church aspired to travel upon. We also set out the qualities we were looking for and a new pastor, and stated that our thoughts were directed by the words Moses spoke to God in Numbers 27, verses 16 and 17, where Moses says to God, "O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as leader for the community. Give them someone who will guide them wherever they go and will lead them into battle, so the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So considering all this, we looked for someone with a pastoral heart and the passion to see individuals come to faith, someone who was a Bible-based teacher who could apply God's word to everyday life, someone with courage to deal with difficult issues, someone with the ability, working with others, to support, disciple, and encourage each personal spiritual journey, and a readiness to network with the local and wider community. We weren't really looking for anybody special, were we? We had many applicants. Some were suggested by the Baptist Union, and many people responded to adverts in the Christian press and Christian websites. Applicants came from the United Kingdom, from Europe, from Africa, from the USA, from Asia. We had Skype calls as a search committee to England, to France, and to Vietnam. The committee invited a number of people to preach and to be interviewed. We called some back and even brought names to church meetings. But 2 years into this process, we were still vacant. Intermittently during the process, I'd contacted Martin Hodson at the Baptist Union and would say, "Martin, is there anybody else coming up that might be pastor for our church?" And at that time I once again approached Martin and said, "Are there any more potential candidates?" And this time his reply was, "Possibly, but I can't give you any information for a month." And I still haven't quite found out exactly why he had to wait the month. And maybe Daniel will be able to fill us in on that at some point. But the month came up, and I got back on the phone to Martin, and within an hour or so, I was talking to Daniel. I discovered that he felt he was coming to the end of his time as a youth pastor in Selkirk, and felt called to move into pastoral ministry. He'd also seen our profile, thanks to Martin, and had picked us out as the church he felt most likely to be the one for him. He wanted to come incognito to a service just to sit and see what we were like as a church, and he did, and we didn't put him off. To cut the story short, Daniel came back and preached. He was invited to preach with a view to becoming the new pastor, and at the ensuing business meeting he received the overwhelming support of the church members and was invited to be our new pastor. And to the best of my knowledge, none of our previous pastors received such a vote of support as Daniel did. And of course, it's not just Daniel who's coming. We're privileged to have Joanna and her passion for 24-hour prayer amongst us, and amongst other things that she brings to us as a church, and also to have Matthew and Naomi, who are firm friends of mine in the few weeks that they've been here. Our church has been led by the same generation for over 30 years. Those of us who are part of that generation are not, I hope, going to sit back and retire. But I'm sure I speak for all of us oldies when I say that our hope and prayer is that as Daniel, Joanna and the family start their ministry in Stranraer, that they will lead the next generation into a fruitful promised land, just as Moses prayed in Numbers for the generations that would follow him.
Thank you, Niall. Daniel, will you take a stand? Thank you. Daniel, do you accept the call of Christ and this congregation to serve as minister here, teaching the word of God faithfully, equipping God's people for works of service, and shepherding God's flock, which is under your care?
With God's help, I will.
We now come to speak the words of the covenant, as explained before. Truth-telling, words that carry the commitment of our spirit and our hearts and our body. This is going to be a conversation between Daniel and the membership of this congregation. But these words take the bond of our solemn agreement of trust, a commitment made before God. So I'm going to invite Daniel to lead in these words, and also the members of this congregation to stand with him and say the words of response. So today, we're going to ask the members of Stranraer Baptist Church and the deacons to stand, please. As you please.
Today, we stand with each other, recognizing Christ the Lord in our midst, affirming our faith in the God who loves us with a love that transforms us, and who calls us to work for a transformed world.
Today we stand with each other, recognizing Christ in each other, affirming the calling of the Spirit who has brought us together this day.
Today I bring myself and the gifts I have, and I covenant to serve and encourage this church and community to serve, to respect and to care for you, to journey with you, to take responsibility among you, to seek God with you, to listen to God in you, and to work with you to be like Christ in this world.
Today we commit ourselves and the gifts we have, to reconnect, to serve, and encourage one another, to seek the way of Christ, to keep the unity of the Spirit, and to encourage you, our minister, as we make this journey together.
God of life, you call us and envision us. We give ourselves today to each other and to you, trusting that as you call us, so you promise to be with us, to to nurture and sustain our life together and to guide our paths. Amen.
I would now invite all of us to stand for those who are not part of the local church but are here to support and celebrate the new ministry which begins. If you are able, would you respond to this question? We do. Do you recognize the work of God's Spirit to bring together this minister and congregation? And do you offer your prayers and encouragement for them in the days ahead?
We do.
Please come forward, Daniel, to the front, and those who have been invited to show hands to come and gather around. And we will pray for you now. True and holy in his name, and show forth in word and deed the reality of the kingdom that has come and is to come in its fullness as we tarry. say, for those of us who know it, a version of the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please let's see everyone. Stephen McGabra. Oh, here we go.
Jim. Well, Daniel, Joanna, great to be here today to represent Wigton Baptist Church in particular, but also the other churches, I think, by extension. Wigton Baptist Church in Dumfries and Galloway terms is quite near you. It's only 25 miles away, but that's the close neighbour for this one. Greetings from everybody there. You've preached there before, you've been there, and we hope we'll see you many, many more times. Prayers to you all. Personally, I'm really pleased you're here. I was delighted to hear early on that this was a possibility. For a kind of selfish reason, perhaps, really. You see, for 25 years, I have been the only boy from 7 Chalmers Avenue in Ayr to be a minister in Wigtonshire. But as of today, you've now made it 2 boys from 7 Chalmers Avenue because Daniel's parents bought my granny's house. I'm maybe being a little bit taking advantage of words here. It's maybe just one boy and one kind of elderly uncle. Anyway, it's so good to have you here. I really am delighted that this has happened. And I think Stranraer will be delighted as well. This is a friendly town. It's a beautiful region. And I hope that very, very quickly you settle in here. And it feels like you've been here forever. Stranraer will want to like you too. That's the good thing. You're coming amongst friends. And Stranraer will want to like you. They'll want to be proud of you. Another one of the town's ministers. Another one of the champions for this part of the southwest of Scotland. I see Stephen and Pam here, 2 brothers here. It might be others. Colleagues that are here today, but as you join that team, may God bless you, and may the town be blessed as well. So, they want to like you. Make it easy for them by being yourself. Don't have any airs and graces. Don't do anything that's not you, because you're fine the way you are. That ready smile that just beams from you. Give it to everybody in the street, whether you know them or not. They'll know you very quickly. So treat them like old friends. Say hello to everybody. Talk about nobody. Because it will be the person you're talking about, it's cousin that you're telling. Treat everyone the same. Whether they be the MP or councillor, or whether they be someone that nobody knows apart from you. Treat them all exactly the same. And become, over the time, a beloved and respected pastor, not just of this church, but to this beautiful, wonderful community of Stranraer. Stranraer has had a hard time this last few years, economically, in all sorts of ways this town has struggled. Part of your reason for being here is to seek the prosperity, the well-being, the joy, the life-affirming fullness that lies within this town. There are signs of new life in this area. The Skiffy Worlds Championships in the summer, bringing Loch Ryan to life once again. The Oyster Festivals, the beautiful flower displays all throughout the town centre. You're coming at a good time. And you, along with these colleagues we mentioned, along with all these folks, are here with goodwill and blessing for you. You're coming to bring further blessing. And we look forward to hearing great stories of that. One of the things which is unique in Scotland, you're coming to the area where it all began. Just a few miles from here, maybe half an hour's drive, roughly halfway between Wigton Baptist Church and Stranraer Baptist Church, is the first church in Scotland, founded in 397 AD by St. Ninian. One of Ninian's names was Ninian the Baptiser. And he came and brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus to this country 1622 years ago. And that's the tradition in which we all stand here today. And there's been prayers for the last 7 years daily throughout the summer and once a week throughout the rest of the year in Wigtown and Whithorn, that God will do it once again. That he will, in the words of the Baptist Union's 150th anniversary motto about the springs of water, this is the most ancient spring of water in Scotland, and it's almost visible from your new house. So, may God bless your ministry. May God bless this church and this town, and we look forward to, really, once all the formalities are over, getting down to work and getting down to some fun as well. So God bless you both.
Hello everybody, I'm Adam Ullman, another one of those near neighbours, just a 45-minute drive down from Girvan. It's a joy to be with you this afternoon. Our scripture reading this afternoon is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our heart. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received this word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out, and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. And since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. This second chapter of 1 Thessalonians offers us a spirit-breathed reflection on how the Apostle Paul came to Thessalonica, came to his new church, as it were. In one sense, you could say that Paul offers a recollection of the character of his induction there and his ministry in Thessalonica, and of the holy response in love and ministry of the church in that place. And so it seems to me natural on an occasion like this to look at a text like this. Of course, there are significant differences to be aware of. Paul came to Thessalonica to establish the church there, and of course, Daniel comes today to join a church which is already well established, strong in faith and obedience and ministry. Paul left behind him suffering and shameful treatment in Philippi. And I believe there are some folk from Selkirk Baptist here today, and I haven't seen any pitchforks, so I guess it wasn't quite as bad there. Paul's specific apostolic calling to go to new places and break new ground for the gospel is maybe a little different from Daniel's calling to pastoral ministry here in Stranraer, though certainly there is common ground to be found. And of course, the usual differences of culture, language, time, and space separate us from the Thessalonians this afternoon. Having said all that, there is still a lot going on here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, which is also going on here in Stranraer today. Paul was a disciple of Christ. He was a pastor, a preacher, a leader. And he came to minister to a church that would gather in faithful obedience to the call of God. We recognize that. Together they would hear the gospel. Together they would proclaim the gospel. Together they would faithfully endure the opposition that would face them. Together they would grow in Christ and see others coming into the kingdom and growing together. All these dynamics are living and active in Daniel's ministry and in Stranraer Baptist Church. And we're looking in faith to see them expressed more and more in the life of the church here in Stranraer through this new connection being established between this pastor and this church. So this afternoon I want to look at some of the things that the Apostle Paul didn't do when he came to Thessalonica, and some of the things that he did do, and then some of the things that the Thessalonians did, and then we'll see where that all takes us if we're spared. Paul says in verse 3 that he came not in error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. Now, I suppose really that speaks more to his intentions than it speaks to his actions, but it certainly deals with the way he came to Thessalonica. As he comes to this place, he comes moved by truth. He comes moved by a desire to make the truth known. He doesn't make any attempt to deceive. He hasn't come to this place to serve himself, but to serve the truth of Jesus, which he's received, and to serve those who will respond to the truth. That's why Paul writes in verse 4 that he came speaking not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. When you read about Paul's missionary journeys in Acts, you get the sense that the poor man functioned as something of a lightning rod. Everywhere he goes, he comes under opposition, attack, rebuke, but he keeps on going. He continues nevertheless. He's not there to please man, but to please God, no matter what the cost. His speaking, therefore, is not marked with words of flattery in verse 5. He comes to Thessalonica because the people there, as everywhere, need to hear about their sin. They need to hear about their perilous place before the judgment of God. They need to hear of their urgent need for repentance. They need to hear of the reality that the only hope for them lies not in their own goodness or their own strength and digging deep, but in the goodness and strength of Jesus Christ. And there's no flattering way to speak these truths. So Paul never did it. Verse 5, he adds that he came with no pretext for greed. The reality is, as Paul comes to Thessalonica, it's the result of a huge sacrifice. When he was a Pharisee in Judea, Paul could have enjoyed a much different way of life. More money, certainly more comfort, far less danger, less suffering, less opposition. He could have enjoyed the respect and admiration of the people. And all that he's given up for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of Christ's calling. He's given them up to come to Thessalonica. He doesn't come for what the Thessalonians can offer him. He comes already having sacrificed far more of the world's comfort than they would ever be able to give him. No, he's not in Thessalonica for greed, but for sacrifice. And for service. So it is in verse 6 that he doesn't seek glory from people, not from the Thessalonians or from others. Since his conversion, Paul has quite deliberately exercised an unconcern for his own reputation, an unconcern for his own glory, but a fierce determination for the glory of Christ and the glory of Christ's church.
So as he comes to Thessalonica, Paul comes without deceit, without seeking to please people, without seeking to gain glory from people, without words of flattery, and without greed. Those are the things the apostle didn't do. Let's think about the things that he did do as he came to this place. In verse 2, he endured suffering and shameful treatment. Now, technically, he's describing Philippi, where he'd just come from. But the truth is, Thessalonica wasn't easy either. And Paul came to this place, came to Thessalonica willing to endure suffering, willing to endure shameful treatment for the sake of his ministry. So it is that he writes in verse 2 that he came with boldness to declare the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. He also came as a man who'd been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel in verse 4. This says something about God's calling of his apostle, God's work in the man's life, but it also speaks of the yes with which Paul answered God. Yes, I will repent. Yes, I will be baptized. Yes, I will proclaim your gospel. Yes, I will go where you send me. Yes, I will suffer if I must. Yes, I will labor for the building of your kingdom. As an apostle approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, Paul comes to Thessalonica as a man determined to say, yes, Lord. Whatever the Lord asks of him in that place. Paul said he was gentle among the Thessalonians, verse 7, gentle like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Gentle. A few verses on, he says it like a father with his children. He exhorted, encouraged, charged them to walk in a manner worthy of God. At times gentle, but then at times intense. Through it all, Paul loved the church, loved the Thessalonians, loved them like a mother, loved them like a father. And he came to them with a love determined to push back the boundaries of his self, affectionately desirous of them in verse 8, determined to share with them not just the gospel, but to share with them of his very own self. And in verse 9, he recalls his labor and toil, his proclamation of the gospel of God. And in verse 10, he calls on them to remember his conduct toward the church, toward the believers, holy, righteous, blameless. So Paul comes to Thessalonica, he comes willing to endure suffering, he comes with boldness to proclaim the gospel, he comes with the approval of God to be entrusted with the gospel, he comes gentle like a mother, he comes exhorting and challenging like a father, he comes laboring and toiling, he comes proclaiming, and he comes conducting himself toward the believers with holy, righteous, and blameless life. There was certainly opposition to the gospel in Thessalonica, certainly opposition. But the church, the believers, the people Paul wrote this letter to, responded to Paul's ministry in ways as determinedly faithful and obedient and true as Paul himself. When Paul preached to them, it says that they received the word of God. They didn't just receive it as the word of Paul or the word of men. They received it as the word of God. They accepted his message as what it really is. Paul's preaching was not just a sweet set of Sunday sermons. It was the word of God. And they received it as such, and that means it went to work in them in verse 13. It changed them. As the Thessalonians opened themselves up to this word of God in verse 14, they became imitators of the churches of God in Jesus Christ. Paul had held up to them the examples of the churches back in Judea, churches who were faithfully worshiping and serving and ministering in the midst of intense opposition, intense persecution and hostility. And the Thessalonians were not put off by that. In fact, in their turn, in verse 14, the Thessalonians themselves suffered the same things from their own people as the Judean churches did from the Jews. So not only did the Thessalonians welcome Paul, not only did they open their hearts to the word of God that he preached, but they submitted to it. They lived it. They became truly new creations. They became faithful imitators of the faithful church, even when that meant that they would be met with opposition and persecution at the hands of their own countrymen. Now, I suppose at this point, I should say, right, Daniel, you need to be like Paul here. You know, you need to reject all these motives of impurity and deception. You need to set your mind on the pleasing God instead of pleasing men. You need to be seeking his glory, not the glory of the people, even these people here. You need to set aside any words of flattery. You need to set aside any pretext of greed. You need to come to Strinra sacrificially, setting aside considerations of money and comfort and respectability. I should say, right, Daniel, you need to be willing to endure suffering and shameful treatment, maybe even worse than you experienced in Philippi. You need to be bold to declare the gospel in the midst of conflict. You need to be approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. You need to be gentle with these people like a mother. You need to be hortatory like a father. You need to share not just the gospel, but your very self with them. You need to labor and toil and conduct yourself in holy and righteous blamelessness towards this church. And then having said all that, I suppose I should turn to the members of the church here. And I should say, right, Strinra Baptist Church, you need to be like the Thessalonians here. You need to receive the word of God that Daniel comes to proclaim. Receive it for what it is, not just the word of men, but the word of God. Submit to it. Let it work in you. Let it change you. You need to become imitators of the faithful church in Judea, in Thessalonica, wherever the Spirit of God has established Christ's people. You need to be willing to suffer as they did, supporting Daniel and Joanne and the family, walking with them, walking in Christ, even in times of suffering and opposition. I should say those things, but I'm not going to. The thing is, I know Daniel. I know him from our time together at Air Baptist Church, from the early stages of my own preparation for ministry. I know him from our years together at Scottish Baptist College. I remember on my first day at college being somewhat dismayed by what you might call the robust discourse of the student common room, and seeing Daniel and being thankful for one familiar, trusted face. John Burns was there as well, but I wasn't so sure. We studied together. We learned together. Sometimes even taught together. We ministered together. I know Daniel. He led a step-out team at our church up the road in Girling. I know Daniel. What is more, I know Strinra Baptist Church. At a time when I was beginning to explore my own call to ministry, at a time when I'd felt God calling and I'd said, yes, Lord, all to Jesus I surrender, I'll give it all up for you. And then the doors seemed to be rather firmly slammed shut in my face. This church welcomed Michelle and I and gave us succor. This church introduced us to Noel McCullins and Milestone Christian Fellowship just up the road in Girvan. And that became an answer to my desperate prayers and became the joyful focus of my own ministry this last decade. This church let me preach here as a student and encouraged me, even invited me one time to be a guest speaker at their awesome youth conference. Strinra Baptist and Milestone have hosted together several American mission teams together now, and they've been a huge blessing to our church, and I'm not sure we would have managed them on our own. A few months ago, I was looking at the website of Strinra Baptist Church, and I discovered that on the About Us section of your website, there's a link to Associated Church Milestone. And I saw that, and it brought a lump to my throat. Because little by little over the years, little by little, I have come to know Strinra Baptist Church. I have been grateful for your prayers. I've been grateful for your encouragement, your love, your Christ-like faithfulness in adversity. So I don't want to say, Daniel, be like Paul and church, be like Thessalonica. I want to say that I see in Daniel a man who is already determined to do the things the apostle did. A man who is determined to do them for the same reasons. And I want to say that I see in Strinra Baptist Church a congregation that is determined to do the same things that the church in Thessalonica did and does them. Of course, we do see in this chapter a wonderful model, a wonderful pattern, an excellent example of Christ-like ministry and service, and we should commend it to one another and remember it. But far more fundamentally, what we see here in this chapter is the reality of the nature of ministry, the nature of calling. We see the reality of the nature of the shared life of the local church. And so I hold up this chapter, the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians this afternoon, not to tell you this is what you must do, not to lay a burden on your shoulders, but because I recognize that this is who you are. was 12, we were living in Pietermaritzburg in South Africa, if you're wondering about my accent. And we got a Commodore 64 for Christmas. It was our first computer. Truly, it was a family possession. But in my heart, it was my Commodore 64. My parents, my siblings would have to fight to get a turn. And even while they were playing, I was reading the manuals and learning about the programming languages and the memory layouts and the registers and the interrupts. And I would be the one who set it up. And when it came time to put it away, I would, with great care, with great precision, pack away our Commodore 64 and the data set tape drive and the power supply and all the various cables into their designated slots in the big styrofoam shell that it came with. And I would slide it carefully into the pristine cardboard sleeve that had come in, and I would lovingly secure it in its safe place in the cabinet under the TV. It was my pride and joy. I loved it. And you can tell, everyone knew. I was hardly outdoors at all that summer. Now, a computer is just a thing. I don't have that computer anymore. It says here in my script that with the years I outgrew that ridiculous devotion, but maybe it's not quite so. I have learned there are greater and deeper loves. Now I have a wife. I have children. I never pack them away in the styrofoam. I'm learning of the love of mother and father that Paul writes about here in this letter. And I am convinced that Daniel is here because he is determined to love this church that way. And I am convinced that this church will love Daniel and his family this way too, as more than treasured possessions that we pack away carefully, but as family who, with whom we share not just the gospel of God, but with whom we also share our own selves, because we've become very dear to one another. In the last two verses of this chapter, Paul speaks out another awesome reality that can exist between a pastor and a congregation. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. I want to thank you, Daniel, and Stranraer Baptist Church for letting me come and preach this afternoon. I'll be praying for you. Milestone Christian Fellowship will be praying for you. The churches in our network will be praying for you. Our union will be praying for you, all sorts of people. And we will watch with hope and longing to see the fruit of this day, to see the fruit of this induction, that you should become one another's hope and joy and crown, that you should become one another's glory and one another's joy. And that all this faithfulness and love and sacrifice and zeal and labor that we see in Paul, that we see in the Thessalonians, that we see in Daniel, that we see in Stranraer Baptist Church, we will see also more and more on the streets of this town as you live it all out together. To the blessing of the people of Stranraer and the area around, and to the everlasting glory of God. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you have given us and how it cuts through our own pretensions and foolishness. But Lord, we are so thankful that we also see the expression of it in this church, in this family, in this pastor. Thank you, Lord God, that we can read this passage and we can say, yes, this thing that we read about, we can recognize before us. And we glorify you for that, Lord God. And we pray that you would continue by your grace this work that you have begun. Lord, we recognize that it was you who laid this church on Daniel's heart. And it was you who commended Daniel to the search team and to the congregation of this church. And so having made this beginning, we ask, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would do a new thing in this church, in this family, in this community, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Adam. going to sing another hymn, In Christ Alone, and then ask Jim to bring it down.
And I'll pass that honour to your pastor.
To our pastor?
That's right.
He's sitting there. That's fine. Let's stand and sing In Christ Alone.
Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it.
Start of the service, I forgot to welcome people who've come from a long way away. I'm very sorry about that, but we do welcome you, especially those who've come from Selkirk and Alba to support Daniel. I'm sure he and the family are very grateful for your presence with us. You especially, but everybody is invited to stay for something to eat. I'm not quite sure how we're going to serve it all. I think it's going to be put on. We're going to take this lectern away. We're going to have some tables on here. There's food. food in the minor hall. That'll be brought through, but you can get some food in the minor hall if you're not able to get food here. There's plenty of food, so don't go away. Take as long as you need to get to know each other, to meet old friends, to speak with Daniel